This is Mark Steiner. We're about to have a conversation on the war in Gaza. Joining us are Jay Bernstein, who is chair of the Advocacy Committee of the Baltimore Zionist District and host of Shalom USA Radio, and Dr. Adel Shamu, associate fellow of the Institute for Policy Studies in Washington, D.C., and senior analyst for Foreign Policy and Focus, author of the book Equal Worth, When Humanity Will Have Peace. And Jay and Otto, welcome. Good to have you with us here on the Mark Steiner Show.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you for having me.
So we're going into our third week of this war. There seems to be a popular sentiment in Israel for this war to continue, but there seems to be a growing popular sentiment in the world for this war to end. Let's do a quick analysis if we can, because there's a very different views on even how this began. When the three young Israeli kids were kidnapped and Israel launched a massive hunt throughout the West Bank, though many were writing on the international press that it wasn't Hamas. So let's go from the beginning. And Jay, why don't you start, then we'll go to Adel.
Well, I know we have limited time, but if we want to talk about the beginning, I would start with 2005, which is when Israel withdrew entirely from Gaza. It was a very painful process, as we all might remember. Every single Israeli left Gaza, but not entirely, in the sense that certain infrastructure, greenhouses, and industry was left in Gaza. And the idea here was for Israel to remove itself and that the Gazan people would be able to control their own destiny, fully create something that would be positive for its citizens, and in some sense, perhaps even a test case for a democratic a neighbor to Israel that will also be a model for what could possibly occur in the West Bank. That didn't happen, or very regrettably that didn't happen. Instead, Hamas was elected. Hamas is a genocidal, anti-Semitic, radical Islamist group, and I would just read the Hamas charter, which verifies this just the way I described them. Instead of focusing on bettering the lives of the people of Gaza, their focus was purely on continuing the struggle against an Israeli occupier, which was no longer occupying Gaza. And we've had these series of rocket attacks that have occurred not just recently, but over the years. And Israel has to defend itself, not only against the rocket attacks, but against these cross-border tunnels, which are intended to invade Israel and to capture, abduct civilians to murder Israelis. So when we talk about where this all began, we need to look at, I think, at 2005. And the reality is, this very sad reality is that the Gazan people are occupied by a genocidal Islamist terrorist group, which is making life miserable for the citizens of Gaza and are threatening the lives of Israelis. And what's happening now is, unfortunately, the need for Israel to respond to that threat.
Adel Shamu.
Well, I'm glad he started in 2005, because I'm going to start somewhere earlier than that. But anyway, it's the Palestinian land is occupied since 1967. Israel began with a 35% of the land United Nations divided for them, and 65% for the Palestinians. Now currently is 78% of the land is occupied by Israelis, and 22% by Palestinian. In addition to that, the Israel built 600,000 people living in settlements, illegal settlement. Even the United States State Department call it, and the rest of the world call it illegal settlement all around the Palestinian land. That is not peaceful event. Nobody will accept building settlement. If Canada or Russia comes and builds 6,000 people of their settlements in the United States, I think we will be doing something about it. Having said that, let's go back to 2005, where Jay talked about. They withdrew. But according to international law, if a country still controls borders and Israel controls the borders of its entirety, land, sea, and air, and doesn't allow the people of Gaza to get medicine, food, educational material, hospital supplies, and develop their economy all these years, and they kept them just barely living. They cannot even leave and go visit their relatives. They cannot go to Europe. They cannot go anywhere. They are in an open-air prison and mistreated and abused anytime there are bombs over them. I'm telling you that that is an occupation, and it's worse than an occupation. At least the occupation is clear-cut. And the Palestinian people in Gaza have the right of resistance. And the right of resistance is considered a natural right of any people to risk foreign occupation. I wish what he said, that they left them alone. I would be very happy. That they let them to develop their economy, I would be very happy. But that didn't happen. Election happened, and Mahmoud Abbas lost. Hamas won. And the reason Hamas won, because Israel refused to negotiate any peaceful two-state solution. And that is really the reason. The reason is not those three innocent young people were murdered, because the murder occurred prior to that. In a week, a Palestinian was killed. 2 weeks before that, two Palestinians were killed. Israel, every week, you read the report, every week they kill one or two or three Palestinians and re-arrest the same people they have arrested before. So it's an occupation by any other name. It's an occupation just like the colonizers in the past.
Well, there's a lot to respond to in what Dr. Shimu said, but I'm going to keep my comments more on the brief side. Israel does control the borders for a basic reason, which is security. The reason for the restrictions are the result of Hamas being there. And we see now the wisdom of that, because what Hamas has done when the borders were open was to smuggle in all types of rockets, thousands of rockets. The number I've seen is 10,000 rockets, building materials that Israel has forbidden to come into Gaza, but have nevertheless come into Gaza. They're not being used to build schools. They're not being used to build hospitals. It's been used to build a very extensive tunnel system. So, again, the question is, what came first? There is a blockade. The blockade is to protect Israel's borders. Dr. Shimu is right. Israel does control the borders, just like any country threatened by its neighbor would control its borders. And the way to remove that is very simple. A demilitarized Gaza, no rockets being fired on Israeli civilians, no smuggling of destructive materials into Gaza, and then Israel will not need to control its borders, and we can have peace on both sides of the border.
Well, the aim of Israel is very clear. To really anybody who is willing to read the black and white information around the world, Israel's refused to negotiate two-state solution. Everybody claims they are not. And the reason is, the evidence are overwhelming. For 8 years, Mahmoud Abbas recognized Israel's right to exist, renounced violence. His security forces, hand in hand with the Israeli forces, went and arrest terrorists or anybody who opposes Israel in West Bank. And he has not been able to negotiate two-state solution. So what he's saying is true, they would have made West Bank to look like a Garden of Eden to show the Gazan people how peace can reward them. That didn't happen. If anything, they built 300, while Abbas is negotiating, they built a settlement for 300,000 more people. And that really just defies the logic, and it really negates what Jay said. Gazans, the reason the way they are resisting the occupation. I do not support Hamas. Mark has read some of my publication. I have called the random shooting of rocket terrorism. But the terrorism occurred at massive scale by the state of Israel towards the Palestinian people from day one. Have them have two-state solution with Mahmoud Abbas. You see, Netanyahu said the following. I cannot negotiate with Abbas because he doesn't represent all the people of Palestine. Then he brings the Hamas into his fold under Abbas's leadership with basically an admission that he agreed to whatever Abbas said. They did not even give them a single cabinet post. Mahmoud Abbas. Totally, they would have been in control of Gaza in a few months. And and he will negotiate two-state solution. What did Netanyahu say? We cannot negotiate with these terrorists. Now the whole organization of Abbas is a terrorist organization, and the only way we will negotiate with Abbas is if he split up from Hamas. The whole purpose, let me tell you, the whole purpose of Israeli stand, and especially Bibi Netanyahu, is he wants to make an apartheid with pontoons of Palestinians, 50,000 here, 100,000 here, 50,000 here, and maintain Israel as the only state there. That is really his plan, and he's powerful. He is supported by the only superpower in the world. He can kill, he could arrest, he has nuclear bombs, and it's unfortunate that the really good portion of the American Jewry supports such a fascistic policy of Mr. Netanyahu. Not all the Israelis are like that, but Mr. Netanyahu is like that.
Well, Jay, go ahead.
First of all, I'm not going to. I really take offense at Israel being referred to as fascistic, because that's really code word for Nazi.
No. I said Netanyahu.
That's anti-Semitic. Well, Netanyahu represents the state of Israel. But let me get beyond that. There are two separate issues here, which I think Dr. Shamu is trying to wrap into one. One issue is a different debate which we can have, which is what's going on in the West Bank? What is the status of negotiations? I would briefly say that both sides, it seems, support a two-state solution. It's not an easy process. A lot of people think that everyone understands what a final deal would be, and now it's just a question of signing with a piece of paper. There's still a lot of difficult issues that need to be resolved. The status of Jerusalem, the alleged right of return claimed by the Palestinians, it's a long process. It's going to take time. That has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that in Gaza, a radical Islamist terrorist group has control of the population, has control over that territory, and in lieu of negotiating, in lieu of peacefully dealing with the issues of its population, it is opted for one goal, destroying the state of Israel and launching rockets. And I'm very happy to hear Dr. Shamu recognizes the Hamas terrorist group. If we're talking about what's going on in Gaza, that's the issue. There's a separate issue here about the West Bank and a larger resolution of this whole problem. And that needs to be resolved, and both parties need to keep talking about it.
But
to put the blame on only one side for the failure of negotiations to date is unfair and wrong, and another discussion. But today, Israel is dealing with an existential threat from a terrorist group launching rockets at civilians from Gaza and tunneling into Israel's territory, and Israel will and has every right to defend itself.
Well, you see, you just repeat in Netanyahu's narrative. Here is what Abbas agreed on a two-state solution. He renounced the right of return in his secret negotiation with Israel and John Kerry. He accepted that 80% of settlers will remain in West Bank under the tutelage of international and Israeli forces, that Israeli forces and international forces will control all the borders in Israel and West Bank. He agreed in the most important issue, and he accepted to take less than 20% of Jerusalem as East Jerusalem to be his capital. He has accepted literally all the positions of Israeli government want. And then what they did, they moved the post again. That is really, if you don't know that, go read the Middle Eastern newspapers. That's what he has accepted. Look, Abbas is not an independent person. He's an employee of the U.S. government and Israeli government. His entire budget comes from United States and Israel. So he is not a free, independent, but nevertheless, they couldn't negotiate with him. He accepted everything. The reason it failed, because even Mahmoud Abbas, who's willing to accept any small amount of freedom from Israeli occupation, is refused because his people will kill him. His people will kill him if they know what he is giving away. And that is really the problem. If you don't understand that, if you're not willing to accept that Israel is the intransigent in the negotiation, nothing really is going to happen. We're going to kill Palestinians. Israel is going to keep killing them like they did. They just refused. They just increased the bombing yesterday to an untenable. They've killed 250 children. They have killed 650 civilians, and they continue to bomb and kill. They bombed four children and playing on the beach. They bombed hospitals. They bombed the radio station. They bombed, you know, I mean, there is nothing left. And have you seen those videos of Gaza? It looked like Second World War Germany. That's how it looks.
Again, the Nazi reference, which I take personal affront to.
But yeah, I didn't think it was a Nazi reference. I mean, just saying it looked like World War II.
That is a Nazi reference. Comparing the IDF to Nazi Germany is a Nazi reference.
He didn't do that. That's not what he said, though. Come on.
I did not do that.
He didn't say that.
You made a reference to Germany. It's like what's happening with Germany.
No, I said if you look at the videos, Gaza looks like what happened to Germany after Second World War by the Allies.
Right.
Everything you said is regrettable and horrible, and the blame for that lies with Hamas. We know what they do. We know that they particularly put civilians in harm's way on purpose, and the result are civilian casualties. It's a horrible, regrettable thing.
But
for a minute going to apologize for the actions of Israel Defense Forces, which is doing its best it can to defend Israel and minimize casualties. The result are still civilian casualties, as regrettable as it is. And the leaders of Hamas, anyone who supports Hamas, are to blame for that and should be held accountable.
That was Jay Bernstein. You also heard Dr. Adil Shamu. We have to take a very brief break, but don't go away. We'll hear the rest of this debate when we come back. On our way to break, we're hearing Wild Thing by the Trogs. Wild Thing started a 2-week run at number one on this day in 1966. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and that was Mustang Sally by the great Buddy Guy. Buddy Guy was born on this day in 1936 in Louisiana and is still performing right now. We're talking about the fighting between Hamas and Israel, the war in Gaza. Joining us are Jay Bernstein, who is chair of the Advocacy Committee of the Baltimore Zionist District and host of Shalom USA Radio, and Dr. Adil Shamu, Associate Fellow of the Institute for Policy Studies in Washington, D.C., and Senior Analyst for Foreign Policy and Focus, author of the book Equal Worth, When Humanity Will Have Peace. Let me go back to earlier here to something that you all both talked about, and I just want to kind of wrestle with this for a moment. There are people in the international press who are arguing that from the very beginning that Hamas had nothing to do with this kidnapping, which is where this began, and this particular episode began. And that because Hamas has cut this deal with the Palestinian Authority, with Fatah, to kind of be a joint government among the Palestinians, who would have been against their interest to want to create a war because that would destroy their getting any kind of power at all. And that when you look at both structures, the Palestinian quasi-governmental structures and the Israeli government, I mean, there are people in both of those in both those houses who call for the extermination of the other. I mean, you saw Israeli Knesset members calling for that every Palestinian mother should be killed so they can't have any more children. That same kind of voice.
So their foreign minister said similar thing.
So those are in both houses. But if that's all we focus on, Jay, the issue never changes. I mean, Hamas has a certain amount of support, but clearly they're losing support among the Palestinians themselves.
One remark. Any Jew, any Israeli who calls for the extermination of any other people, that's reprehensible, disgusting, and needs to be denounced by everyone. And in fact, it is. I think there are voices like that in Israel, and Israel needs to deal with it. These are fringe elements, not the majority. And that's that horrible incident that occurred with the murder and brutal murder of the young Arab boy for no reason at all other than the fact he was an Arab. And it was denounced throughout Israel, from the right to the left, as it should be. That doesn't make any less horrible. And it was disgusting, and it requires soul searching within Israel as how that could happen. But I think there's absolutely no comparison between how often and the voices that support that in Israel to what we see within the Palestinian culture as far as the glorification of murder. And just one brief example of that would be the murdering terrorists who were released as part of the Gilad Shalit deal. Those who were released even more recently, they are celebrated within the Palestinian culture.
Adil.
Well, I mean, I don't have to do it now, but I have condemned the killing of these three people in the strongest terms. But at the same time, there has been murder and killing before that of Palestinians. You see, to me, I distinguish nothing between the killing by a knife and killing by bombs. The bombs are modern way of sanitizing murder. And when Israel randomly goes and throw bombs, and maybe they killed one terrorist, and at the same time killing 5 to 10 civilians, that is, to me, criminal murder. It's no different than all the criticism the United States get, and the international community has condemned it. When the United States even drone killing, that's one of the most controversial drone killing in Afghanistan and in Pakistan. And that is the reason we are losing a great deal of support of the world community, because we are living really in 100 years old or 200 or 500 year old mentality of how to deal with this issue. Instead of peaceful negotiation, we are just bombing people, killing people, and then we have the best, and Israel has one of the best PR machinery, where they look you straight in the eye and tell you a falsehood to your face every day. And our establishment media, not your media, establishment media, just like Wolf Blitzer, brings 10 Israelis to be interviewed and maybe one Palestinian point of view.
Nothing is happening on a random basis here. There's bombing occurring.
Jay, go ahead.
It's not happening randomly. Inevitably, there are, and unfortunately, regrettably, civilian casualties. But again, I'll repeat what I said right at the outset. Israel no longer occupies Gaza. And it all ends, everything ends, in fact, nothing would even have started but for the decision by Hamas to launch thousands and thousands of rockets. And let me say, by the way, Mark, as many of your listeners may know, these rocket attacks have been going on for 5, 6, 7 years. They may have been increased recently, but this has been an ongoing story.
If you are a Gaza, what would you do?
It's very rarely reported here, but southern Israel and various cities in southern Israel have been under attack on and on and on well before the most recent events and the kidnapping of the young boys, etc.
So, you know, if your son hasn't been killed, what would you do?
Gaza to stop the attacks.
There are atrocities by the Israeli Defense Forces towards the Gazans, towards the West Bankers. What should these people do? What should these 6 million Palestinians do for 50 years when they are starved? Their hospitals don't have medicine. Their water, the entire Gaza of 1.8 million now have no water. No water, no electricity. Do you know how many deaths is going to occur just due to two things? They are drinking sewage water. What kind of conscience you are trying to defend? This is what you call it, justice? Is this what you call? I mean, look, what would you call that? I mean, it's, to me, it's unfathomable to have that kind of destruction in order to subjugate people and take their land off. And I really believe Israel is not going to stop. This, unfortunately, is going to continue for decades to come because they are powerful and they will kill more Palestinians. I hope I'm wrong. But that's the only way Israel is going to stop, when they're really, that it's so delegitimized among civilized world, will become a pariah, basically, their method. That's probably the time when some reasonable Israelis will say, we got to change our policy.
It's a sad state of affairs where the horrible situation of the Gazan people is blamed on the Jews. It's not all the Jews. There are millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars of foreign aid to go to Gaza. What's it used for? Is it used for the infrastructure? Is it used for the people? It's used by a bunch of
Do you really believe that? All the millions and millions,
Islamic,
you know what they get?
Extremists.
They get
the money
peanuts compared to what Israel
does. That's the problem. And let me add also, by the way, when you talk about the situation in Gaza, all the focus on Israel. Israel does not surround Gaza. There's a border with Egypt. So, to the extent that there is an issue that the Gazan people have, they should talk to their brothers, to their fellow Arabs in Egypt, and see whether they can allow that border to be opened up. And there will be no objection to that if it is monitored so that it is only used for necessary goods and for food, et cetera, and not for military. And that concern is not a fantasy, because we know it's been happening year after year after year. The open borders are used and distorted for smuggling in of rockets and other military equipment.
I mean, this logic really, again, it's unbelievable. Let's surround Israel and give them only few tunnels to to pass through all the goods and services and food and supply and medicine underground in a hole, basically. That's what you're saying. Israel asked the dictator in Egypt to close them, and they closed them. There were only 4 or 5 of them, and they closed, and they have
no
medicine.
Those tunnels are not being used to smuggle in food.
Of course they were smuggling food.
Where did 100,000 rockets come from? 10,000 rockets, whatever number
I have no doubt they have some rockets. I have no doubt. I'm not debating that. I am sure the rocket came through some tunnel somewhere. I am sure that is the case. But that is not the issue. The issue, what else they can do? If you live under these conditions, you yourself, for 7 years, you cannot get medicine, you cannot get food, you cannot get your children educated. What would you do? What would you do? You would have no resistance? You know, Europeans resisted fascism. They did. And whenever the fascist dictator...
With all due respect, Dr. Smith, you're setting up a straw man here, because of the idea that no food or medicine has been allowed in Gaza over the last 4 or 5 years is false.
Of course not. There is
false.
The only food came in is through the tunnel.
False. That's false. In fact, you go just Google very quickly and you'll see that even during this current conflict, there have been many, many trucks that go into Gaza to provide necessary food.
But I think
so,
I mean,
this whole concept is not even true.
Well,
only to allow them to survive. That's it. Just short of death. Yes, you're right. It allow them food and medicine short of death. You've seen those trucks. They are stacked to 3-story high on top of them, these trucks, to bring food and medicine. And just so, I mean, look at the children. They are all emaciated. They are starving. They have no, a lot of them die of infection. You will not allow Israel to live that way for 1 week. Why would you, if you really believe
again,
that human beings are human beings?
I'll put, without going to a whole long litany here, Washington Post, June 2010, a farmer sees in Gaza look as well-supplied as a typical Rite Aid in the United States. Financial Times, May 2010. Shops all over Gaza are bursting with goods, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to debate the fact that there's a lot of hardship there. But again, who is responsible for the hardship? Not for
the
leadership
of Philadelphia.
In Jerusalem.
They have
but
no
for
industry.
The people,
they have
the thousand
no...
people elected to take over and to run their country, and instead are horribly misusing them.
You Israelis left Gaza. They should have left it completely. Let them run
Israel
their affairs.
Israel did leave it completely. Israel did leave it. There's not one Israeli who resides in Gaza.
You know, I wonder where, I think the world wonders, this country wonders where this goes. I mean, how long will how long can this war last, Jay Bernstein, in terms of the deaths are taking place in Gaza, and how long do you think even the U.S. opinion will support Israel in this? I mean, I think that's
already changing.
Well, let me say, you know, I'll briefly respond, Mark, and I appreciate again having speak on your program, but there's a lot of determination on both sides. When it's going to end, I'm not sure, but I think from Israel's point of view, it would be very dangerous for it to end in a situation where Hamas still has a great bulk of its rockets in place, where there are rockets still that, where there are tunnels that still can go into Israel, and where you have a continued situation of a serious threat to Israel, which Israel will have to deal with again. What needs to happen is not necessarily, I don't think, the Hamas being ousted, because again, what happens after that, I don't know. But what needs to happen is a demilitarization of Gaza. Something maybe similar to what happened in Syria, where ultimately the chemical weapons were removed from Syria. The rockets have to be removed, the tunnels have to be closed, and this had already been proposed by Israel, many in Israel, that there should be billions of dollars of aid provided to Gaza to rebuild and to create a flourishing society that focuses on the needs of its people rather than a single-minded focus by its leadership on the destruction of the state of Israel and the death of every Jew in Israel and probably even beyond that.
All the evidence indicate what Jay said is not going to happen because Israel interests to destroy Hamas completely, eliminate them from existence if they can, because if they wanted to negotiate a two-state solution with the West Bank, they would have done it in the past 8 years of peace, complete peace, and agreement by the leadership there. And their overall goal is to keep the Palestinian people in an apartheid regime and subservient to the Israelis. It's really colonialism in the worst shape. And the only way the Palestinians are going to get their freedoms if the world community start, and it is changing, especially in Europe and the rest of the world. In the United States, there are hints of changing. Is Israel becomes a pariah. Its method is a pariah to the rest of the civilized world. I am not very optimistic this could happen tomorrow, and there will be no simple negotiation because Israel will change the post. Because Abbas have agreed to every term they have asked him for, and they changed the post, and then they demonize. Now they are demonizing John Kerry, representative of the United States, in the negotiation. When they don't get what they want, they demonize him. They demonize Obama in order, and they use their AIPAC and the rest of the lobbying groups in the United States to get the Congress to vote for something for them. As long as that balance is not changed, nothing is going to happen, and hopefully the murder of all these Gazans will help make it happen.
Far from being a pariah, I think people who understand the situation clearly will understand that the threat that Israel is facing and responding to today is a threat to Israel and to the Jewish people. Tomorrow it's a threat to the entire world, assuming that it hasn't already happened. So far from a pariah, people will understand what's going on here, will understand that Israel is fighting our fight, the fight of Democrats, the fight of Americans. And I think Americans do support Israel, will continue to support Israel. And again, we all pray that the conflict will end soon, and Israel can go about building its society, and the people of Gaza will go about doing the same.
Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you both for taking your time here. This has been a very intense discussion, and I want to thank Jay Bernstein for joining us, Dr. Adel Shamu. Thank you both so much for being part of the Mark Steiner Show today as we continue our look at the war in Gaza.
Thank you,
Mark.